Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Nick Krause, who is the founder and CEO of Krause Marketing, an award-winning agency which has appeared in the Inc. 5000 Fastest Growing Companies list. Today, we're going to be discussing Nick's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Nick.
Thank you, Julia. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so to get started, let's dive into a couple of questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Okay.
So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
Well, it's interesting. So there's a couple things that really motivate me. So one was one of the main reasons that I started my company was to control my own destiny. I was taught that being an employee was the best way to control your own destiny because you could always find a job. And I learned very early on my career that in 2008, when the Great Recession hit and everyone started getting laid off, that actually was bull. And that really being an entrepreneur is just as safe as being an employee. Mm-hmm. And I already had my side business. So controlling my own destiny was one. Along the same lines, wanting to start a company had to do with those layoffs and how they happened at the corporation that I was at. They were kind of ruthless, and it made me want to create a place that people would want to come to and work at, which I think now 13, 14 years later, I think we've been pretty successful at. And then it's just, I guess it's just, there's an adventure about being an entrepreneur that, you know, and the risk, there's a little bit of the ego that comes with it, or the, how people look at you type of thing, which is also, I'm not going to say that that's not part of it as well, because it is, you get to stand at the top of the podium a lot. So there's an interesting mix, but I would say those three things would probably be it.
Awesome. I love that. And then, so how did you originally get into digital marketing?
My first website I designed was in 1998 in our teacher's class. His name was Mr. Tolley, and we designed websites utilizing HTML. I thought that was pretty cool. And then I was a graphic design major in college. When I got out of college, I was a packaging designer, but on the side, I was building websites and brands for people online. From 5 o'clock to 12 o'clock at midnight, every night I'd be doing side work.
That's cool.
That's how I got into digital. I realized the power of it. You know, you start seeing people getting found online and you start getting some happy customers and saying, how can you do that for my friend and that type of stuff. And it was, the segue kind of happened from there.
Okay. So how long were you, so you were working, you had a 9-to-5 and then you started Krause Marketing on the side. So how was that in the early days? How long were you doing that before you basically, made that transition into a full-fledged agency?
Yeah. So from 2004 until September 26th, 2008, which was my last day at the corporation, I did both. So about 4 to 5 years, I did both. And I would say that it was a little bit like stressful, but really not that much. I didn't have kids. I've always been a workhorse. So I'd like, even Through high school, I always had a part-time job, even though I did sports and got good grades. Through college, I worked 30 hours a week, even though I was a college athlete and got grades as well and did extracurricular. So working sitting still is harder for me than doing things. So that's, if you ask my wife or my friends and family, I'm not like a low energy person. So it really was never a problem. Actually being 25 and making $40,000 on the side wasn't a bad thing. I paid for my wedding cash. I had a sports car. So I really never felt bad. It was after I lost the corporate job and I had to rely solely on the company to make, my money. That was the more traumatic years.
Yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit. So, how did you, really get the company off the ground? How were you getting your name out there to grow the agency?
So I took a layoff. I got an offer to transfer to Connecticut. I'm in New Jersey, to Connecticut during that Great Recession. And I took a layoff instead.
Okay.
Yeah, my last day was September 26th. And September 29th was the following Monday. And I was already prepared. I had everything ready to go. And I walked and started doing knocking on doors and introducing myself as as a new agency in town. Mm-hmm. We're a little downtown here that has a pretty good business district. That's how I got started. I made my first $13,000 in sales on my first day.
Amazing.
My every other time was as successful as that, but it was a good start. But putting myself out there was nothing I ever had a problem with. The toughest thing with being an early on entrepreneur is one, the self-doubt, worrying that you're going to fail. People doubt you as well. It's funny being an entrepreneur because people expect you to fail eventually. Then so that they could give you the I told you so. Yeah, at least there's some of them. There's some people that really are rooting for you, but there's definitely a good portion that are like, well, that's a stupid idea. How could you ever get you do that?
Sure. Yeah.
So I think that's one of the toughest parts of kind of starting off is having that in your head. But to me, that was always a nice motivator on my shoulder, was that fear of failing. And always wanting to grow. It's actually still a thing. We've grown by 30% year over year for the last 3 years straight since 2019. We had some slow years of kind of more stalled years, 2016, 2017, and 2018, where we had a big growth until those years. We plateaued, but we've been growing again for the last 3 or 4 years. How I got my business to start off was just a lot of networking, a lot of introducing myself to people, jobs to get the portfolio going, to get the referrals, doing things above and beyond for small clients that sometimes weren't the best clients. And knowing that it was all part of the process of, little jobs lead to big jobs and little customers lead to better customers, and that it was just all part of the process. In my head, it was a long game from the beginning.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to say crazy, but I've heard crazy stories where people thought they were going to be profitable in 90 days, or that they were going to, making the same salary as they used to within 5 months. To me, it was I'll build it over time. I had my projections and whatnot, but it was just, it'll take as long as it needed to take. And the requirement was not being ashamed to ask for business or to go look for business and to go introduce myself to other businesses.
Yeah, definitely. I think you have to pay your dues in the beginning, right? It sounds like you really did a great job, putting the effort in, going door to door, and then just building that trust with those early customers to help build those referrals and grow your agency down the road.
Yeah, for sure. Yep.
Yeah. Awesome. So what would you say has been talk a little bit about, how you've grown your agency. Like, what is it? What are you guys like now? How big is your team? Are you guys serving a specific niche? Talk a little bit about how you've grown the agency.
Yeah. So when we obviously I started just myself, my wife joined the company much longer, about a year after that, to help me do sales. She was in insurance sales, so she helped me do sales.
Okay.
And she came in and she helped me understand the benefits of recurring revenue. Because from the insurance agency, that's exactly what they do. They make a few hundred bucks off of each client and they just get a book of clients then, and they make decent money. It took me a little bit of time to really understand that business model, but that was huge. And it's still huge, even come, my idea was always have as many clients as possible, not five or six big clients. It was, you know, have dozens, even we have a couple hundred small clients, and now we have a dozen or so big clients. Okay. We're at 35 employees, but that reoccurring revenue has allowed stability to do things and take chances. The big projects that come through are very profitable for that reason. Mm-hmm. How we've continued to grow the agency is actually, it's kind of an interesting story. In 2016, we were relaunching, I think, our third or fourth version of our website. And I had rushed it through the process. I didn't, let it go through the QC checklist. And when we relaunched it, the phone stopped ringing and our traffic on Google Analytics kind of went dead. And I couldn't really figure out why. And there was a couple things that we figured out, which were, three redirects weren't instituted, and we found a no crawl on the website as well. And what I realized was how important at the time our current website was. And I always knew that it was important. We started doing SEO and digital marketing back in like 2009, 2010, pretty early on. And I always kind of had a focus on it, or not kind of, I always had more of a focus on it than I knew my peers did, because I knew it was important to rank high. Mm-hmm. And it really became evident for that month when we relaunched that new website. And what I told the team after that is that Krause Marketing is going to be one of the number one clients of Krause Marketing. So we decided to do everything that we were doing for our best clients for Krause as well. And still this day, we do, I don't know if it's dozens anymore, but I'll say dozens of articles a quarter, dozens of videos, tons of SEO work, tons of social media. We spend money on social media. We're active in our community. All the digital marketing that we do creates a ton of inbound leads for our own company, which is, it's huge when in the sales process, because, a lot of times smaller clients will ask, well, does this work? And it's very easy to ask, well, how did you find us?
Exactly.
And they found us online most of the time. I'd say about 6 out of 10 clients or new clients are from online, and about 4 out of 10 are referral. So nice. We have a really good inbound lead generation. So that's been helpful. And then as far as the services that we offer, we still do the branding and website design, which we started with. But then we do search engine optimization, social media marketing, email marketing. We have videography and photography in-house. So we have an all under one roof approach. We feel like it delivers a lot of value to our clients, even though it's a lot of overhead to us. And that allows, but allows us to, create schedules that meet our clients' deadlines. And using 1099s make that kind of hard sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. That's so interesting. And then so that's really cool. So you have 40% of your leads that come in through referrals.
Yeah.
So how are you ensuring that you are, maintaining happy clients so that you can be continuing to, bring in more referrals?
So we do a number of things. We're very data driven. So we do regular reviews with our clients of how their marketing projects or campaigns are going. We do reviews when a client's leaving about, why they left or why they're pausing or what's going on.
Yep.
We measure attrition as far as it goes. So how long a client stays with us, what our attrition rates are. And then we just try to continue to deliver more value based on the information that we hear, create less mistakes. A great customer experience is one of the things that we've realized is easy to see, or not to oversee, but like to look past, because
to overlook.
We're always looking for results, but the client's got to have a good experience on top of it. They got to feel like they're heard. They got to be in the know, and they got to understand what's going on. You know, mm-hmm. So there are three different things. So understanding, meaning what are our services really do? Being mm-hmm. in the know is what's the day to day and the things that are happening and all the positive things that are happening. And really feel like they're involved, like that it's part of their plan, it's their ideas, it's their decisions that are being made. And yep. that, you know, I think there's a lot of things that go into that customer experience that create happier clients and then create the referrals from it.
Yeah. So it sounds like you guys have a very collaborative approach. You know, you're really taking their ideas and then workshopping them and then coming up with like a final plan. Yep. So that you guys are really working as a team to accomplish that.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah, very cool. So, you know, if you had one growth tip that you could share with any up and coming agency owners, what would that be?
Agency owners, I mean, almost any company, I think you got to be willing to do your own sales. And
it's
huge. I was one of the number one producers for my own company up until the last few years. Now we have a sales team. But I think going, you know, where I see a lot of companies fail is they come to an agency like mine, hoping that I could sell their unique product or service. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, for the most part in 2022, most of our products and services are Me Too products and services. Of course, it's my job to make them seem as unique and drive that value proposition to the target audience. But, you know, really creating that sale is important. If you look at like an Elon Musk or a Steve Jobs, you know, here's guys, you know, especially Steve Jobs, just really another computer, just another tablet, just another phone. But man, he really sold it. And I think that a lot of people come up with their own business idea, their business plan, what they believe is really unique about their product and that they don't really have competition. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you as a company that's marketed hundreds and hundreds of companies, very rarely do I feel that someone is a unicorn. In fact, I don't know if I've ever felt like here's a unicorn and there's no, you know, there's always competition. And for that reason, you got to be the one, especially early on, to be willing to sell your product and convince others to purchase it, to get to that critical mass point where marketing and other things and the machine can kind of build itself. But
yeah,
even in the future, but definitely early on, you got to be the one convincing people that what you got is different and better than the next.
Yeah, definitely. And how do you get your sales team, you know, really fired up? You know, because there's definitely, it can be easy to sell when you are, you know, the owner of the company, you're super passionate about what you're selling. How do you ensure that your sales team is staying, you know, motivated and that they're, you know, effectively selling your services?
So it's a combination of, things. One is, you know, there's always got to be, at least in my opinion, part of a salesperson's compensation has to be commission-based.
Mm-hmm.
So, and a big enough part where they wouldn't want to live without it, you know, so that's one motivation. Eating, you know, is one big part of the motivation. We do weekly meetings, you know, weekly meetings we feel are really important. Talk about what they're working on, who they're talking to, where they are in the process, you know, next steps. And those are always on Monday mornings, first things. And then we do a follow-up, individual 15-minute follow-up on Fridays as well to make sure what they promised on Mondays, and not even what they promised. This is just an accountability meeting on Fridays as well.
Yeah.
To make sure that, you know, to do that with six people on a Monday, you know, we have a small sales team, but, you know, decent size enough where you can't talk about everything. So Monday mornings is a full team. Fridays is an accountability meeting one-on-one, and it tends to keep people motivated. You know, it's recognition and pats on the back are also really good too, you know, mm-hmm. and just like continual conversation and make it excited. And then, you know, they say the pack runs at the speed of the leader. And so I always try to make myself available. You know, I always tell them, if it's revenue generating, you let me know. Like, you know, I don't care where I am, you know, you know, outside of a wedding or a funeral, I'm available for a call. If it's revenue generating,
I love that means
you're in a negotiation, you need help with a pitch. Just let me know and I'll be there. So I think them having a teammate always, you know, and someone to support them is also big too. And they all do it for each other as well. A lot of times they don't ask me anymore, but you know, they still do. And I always pick up the call, always excited to talk about how we're going to get that next client, how we're going to, you know, create that next, you know, strategy that's going to be a winner for the next company.
Yeah, that's really cool. So do you guys do like any type of, you know, like sales role play sessions so that your sales team can be practicing their sales pitch? Do you guys do something like that?
Yeah, we have a scripted sales pitch and everyone has a little bit of their own version of it, but it is scripted. We have pitch decks that are approved by the project management team. I think one of the mistakes that smaller companies make, and it's really not just agencies, but smaller companies make, is they allow salespeople to create estimates without approval by anyone else.
Yeah, and not being on the same page.
Yeah, exactly. So years ago, we instituted that by request of one of the directors here, that they get to review, along with, you know, other directors, all proposals before they are seen by the client.
Yeah.
And that keeps everyone on board and gets everyone on board, so that it's not like, hey, you threw this in my lap. Sometimes it's a discount, sometimes it's a deadline that you got to meet. And if you want your production team to hit your sales team, allow the sales team to make any promise they want, you know.
So exactly.
if you want them to all be on the same page and all be, you know, together as a team, that approval and just getting that buy-in is really huge.
Yeah, it's just going to create a more harmonious working environment when, you know, you don't have your production team is scrambling to try and meet promises that the sales team met. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense, just having them sort of sign off on anything that's being presented.
And then to go back to your question too, we do have, like, so with the script, we also have the sales team, the account management or slash project management team, and even the creatives, they all participate in pitches. This way, and you have to do a certain amount per quarter and annually. So that not only are you hearing what the salesperson says, but you get to understand what's important to the customer and the client. We try to put people in those pitch meetings that may be working on the account, and it's not always perfect because, you know, you can't schedule everything because you never know when that signed paperwork is going to be happening. But it works out really nicely where what we noticed in the past was the, you know, senior graphic designer or the social media specialist really didn't always know what the salesperson was saying on the sales side. And then what deliverables are going into the agreement compared to what deliverables are happening in the project management system, they drift apart.
There was a disconnect.
And then what you have is a client that remembers they hear and they were going to get this, and then they get this. So what we started doing was making sure that, you know, everyone gets in these pitch meetings so that everyone really understands what we're promising so that we can deliver to those promises as well.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And just making sure that those processes are really dialed in so that nothing's falling through the cracks.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah. Awesome. So where do you see Krause Marketing in 5 years' time?
I think we continue to grow. You know, I think 30% is big, but we're at that rate right now. I could see, though, in 5 years us being double in size, if not a little bit more. Which only about 20% growth per year. And we would be more on a little bit, you know, one thing that we're working on is CTV and OTT. It's a capability of ours that we have, and we're starting to grow that as well. I think that that's a big advantage. And then from the studio side of thing, I see a lot of growth as well. And then, of course, the typical digital services that we already provide, you know, those aren't going anywhere. It's just, you know, currently we service clients from very small to, you know, Fortune 500 and 100. Mm-hmm. And I think that we continue to move towards those enterprise level clients. But I love having services that you could, you know, service a small, medium-sized company as well and deliver a lot of value. And it, as long as you do it in an efficient way for them so that they don't have to spend too much time on it, and in an efficient way for Krauss so that you don't have to charge too much for it, mm-hmm. you deliver a lot of value to the client, and you can still service a small, you know, smaller, you know, budget while working for some of the bigger budgets out there too.
Very cool. I love that. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So what is a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
There's a bunch. Think and Grow Rich was one early on that I read.
Yeah.
There's a chapter about self. It's basically just reminding yourself what your goal is. And it's basically over and over telling yourself what your goal is. And then eventually it becomes reality. Mm-hmm. Good to Great was a huge one. Shoe Dog, if you like an entrepreneurial book.
I love that book.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And then one more recently was by Marcus Aurelius. And it's about stoicism, which is really interesting too, because as a leader, not being ran by emotions or being ran by emotions is an easy thing to do. Not being ran by emotions is something a Stoic would do. So I try to embody some of those teachings as well. So I
did interesting
or a bunch. So
okay, very good.
Effects, yeah.
Yeah. Great recommendations. And what does your morning routine look like?
For the most part, I get up, I work out. I have horses, so I go and feed and take care of the horses.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, I usually check emails and schedule and bank account balances all before 6:30, 7 o'clock. And then I'm in the office by 8:39. But yeah, it's usually around getting some exercise and getting outside and, you know, kind of setting the pace for the day.
Awesome. Love it. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I don't. I mean, I guess I just mentioned Phil Knight from Shoe Dog. So I guess I've had a little bit there. I've talked about, you know, a couple others so far. But yeah, I mean, maybe him, I guess. Not huge, though. I'm part of Entrepreneurs Organization. So I get to talk to a lot of CEOs, get a lot of experience from a lot of people that way.
Perfect. Very good. And what is your favorite online tool?
I mean, the two that I spend my most time in, Google Analytics, believe it or not, I still spend a lot of time in. I love to see how our clients are doing and how Krauss is doing. I'm obsessed with our traffic and our analytics digitally. And then QuickBooks, I spend a ton of time looking at my numbers and making sure that we're profitable and seeing ways that we can do better.
Very good. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I guess that it's possible and that there's more people like you and that you could do it.
Yeah.
I didn't really know anyone like me or that was successful. You know, every once in a while you meet someone at a party or at a bar or something like that. And they're like, and you're like, oh, you own a business. And you're just like so intrigued. But
yeah.
I never knew anyone like that, really. I had some people in the distant family, second, third cousins that have, but I didn't really know them well enough to even talk about it. So there's more people like you, and it's very possible, I think, is one thing to know.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to dream big. And, you know, whenever you've got that goal, just stay laser focused, keep working towards it, and you'll get there.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Nick. It was a pleasure to have you on the podcast, and I really enjoyed chatting with you.
You too, Julia. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.